You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The 422nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on football, only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress. Use promo code CFBX on your first purchase to save $20. Download the Game Time app and use promo code CFBX. And next, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play the Underdog Pick'em in college or NFL and win up to 20 times in one game. Plus, every Sunday, they're giving away $100,000. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for an 100% deposit bonus of up to $500. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 422. Going out to one of our friends in the Discord, as per usual, Bayou Funk. I think I may have dedicated one to Bayou Funk already, but here's another one, because Bayou Funk came up with a great new emoji for us, and it is low fight IQ. We hate low fight IQ, us MMA degen gamblers and us friends in the Discord, and there was some of that on display last night. So thank you for coming up with that idea, Bayou Funk. And thank you to everyone else for listening to the show. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Wasn't a super chalky night last night. Well, it was a good night for me. Maybe it was a chalky night. I'm not sure. Haven't really processed it yet. It was a wacky night. It was a MMA night. We had some MMA results here. And luckily for my co-host, one of the wacky results actually swung in his favor, and he got a nice plus 135 hit on it. So let's bring him in now. He's going to tell us how he predicted that Matias Gamrot's elbow would destroy Fiziev's knee. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
It actually wasn't even the kicking leg. Did you see the follow-up to it? It was his plant leg that actually dislocated. Okay. Yeah, so, the broadcast is originally like, oh, he must have kicked this or must have kicked that. But, yeah, it turns out it was his left knee that dislocated. And it looks like it tore an ACL for Fiziev, which is obviously, like you said, it's fun for me because I had the Gamrot money line. It's a bummer, though, because I really thought Gamrot started getting going in that second round, right? Like he started getting his wrestling going. He started getting some takedowns. I thought he was, had a really good start to possibly making it a round apiece because Fiziev won the first. And now we're just going to have people kind of like writing off this victory as a fluke, which kind of sucks to me because like one of these two guys, and I said it before the fight, whoever wins this definitely should crack into that like Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje realm of guys they should fight. And, Fiziev has already fought Gaethje, so that's, neither here nor there. But they should crack back into that. This could have been that for Gamrot, and now instead I think you're going to wind up seeing him fight, he already fought Armin Sarukian, but the Armin Sarukians of the world, right? Like, that seems what he's going to be relegated to because people are going to write off this victory.
Yep. I'm still stunned that the broadcast team got something wrong. So sorry, I didn't.
Man,
catch
they most of that. they were on one last night. I don't know that there's a worse team than Cruz and Bisping when they're together.
Yeah,
because they're like bad. Yeah. The problem is that first of all, Cruz hates every single referee. So anytime a referee does anything, they're an idiot. And he'll take that to his grave. And also, neither of them clearly understand the scoring, but that's maybe not unique to these two. But they hate each other. Like, it's so obvious that they hate each other, and they just spend all of this time trying to one-up each other. And both doing so in dumber and dumber ways every time. Also, the amount they talked about Hannah Goldie's strength as she was getting manhandled, it just is perplexing. You know, like she was getting, and don't get me wrong, she's probably stronger than Mizuki Inoue, but the fact that Mizuki is then bodying her shows, like, why are we talking about this girl's muscles when we should be talking about the other one's technique?
She looks like a bodybuilder. That's why it's easy. Oh, she must be strong. She has
muscles. She looks like she has an ex-boyfriend who tested positive for steroids twice. Oh, wait. Yeah.
That's the least problematic thing that guy did.
Yes, that's true. He's also a scumbag. But also, you know, she got buff around that same time. You know, draw your own conclusions.
All right. We did, and we shall. She's not long for the UFC anyhow, so we don't really have to worry about Hannah Goldie. But yeah, it was a interesting night, to say the least. We should probably recap it, shouldn't we? We probably should. That's what we're here for. These recap episodes usually go long because we have lots to talk about. I don't know if there's anything really, especially with how the main event went, I don't know if there's anything really meaningful happened last night. But we'll speak about that very, very shortly, as everyone's turning off the podcast. As I tell them, it's not going to be meaningful. I'm going to tell you about DraftKings. No, it's not meaningful. DraftKings is meaningful. We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Go Cowboys. I think, isn't their line like double digits for today's game?
I think they're minus 14 and a half. But
Gummy
they should
says take it anyway.
They should handle that.
All right. Football's more fun when you're in on the action. So download the app now and sign up with code SGP. New customers can bet at just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. And with your winnings, head over to Game Time. You won't have to spend too much there because they have the best deals on tickets, but you can spend some of your money on Game Time. Treat yourself. Buy some tickets last minute, early, however you want them, for whatever you want. Game Time is the place to be because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So you make money there. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I didn't mess up the code this time. I had to slow down, but I didn't mess it up. All right. People will listen whether it was meaningful or not, Dan. People listen to our episodes from months ago still for some reason. So it must be the amazing charisma.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. You know, these are evergreen, man.
Yes, they are evergreen. Last night's event, not so evergreen. UFC Fight Night, Fiziev versus Gamrot. Lucky it was just in the UFC Apex. Wasn't in front of a paying crowd. We pretty much covered the main event already. Matthias Gamrot won via a knee injury on Rafael Fiziev's behalf. Round two, 203 into the round. Not much else to say about it, right? Gumby hit a plus 135, was it? Something like that? Yes, 135. So Gumby left happy.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that I leave happy because, like I said at the beginning, I'm not sure that this gives Gamrot the boost that he needs. And, you know, whether or not I wanted Fiziev to win or thought he was going to win or whatever, like, him being out of commission is not good for MMA. He's so fun to watch. It's kind of a bummer that we wound up with the ending we did. You know, I'll take the cash, but that's not fun.
No. Co-main event. God was on Bryce Mitchell's side, and he took care of Dan Ige. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. I had a argument that Ige won the fight. There is an argument that you could have given him the first two rounds. But apparently the refs don't know that we're supposed to worry about damage and putting the other fighter in danger rather than just effective grappling. Cause the grappling won the day for Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, but I would say this too. So you're right. We do talk about damage, and the way the criteria is written up is like who it's basically written up as who is closer to finishing the fight. And that means that could mean by having a choke in deep, which doesn't actually cause any damage, or that could mean by throwing a big haymaker right hand. And depending on which one's closer, that's sort of what you get. I would argue that the positions that Mitchell was in could have won him either of those two rounds. Personally, I scored one for Ige. I scored two for Mitchell, and obviously three for Mitchell too. So I think the 29-28 cards are fine. I think you could have defended 29-28 to Ige. I think you could also defend 30-27 for Mitchell. I don't even think that's a bad scorecard. So the whole gamut of possible cards here was fine to me.
Yep. Are we any more impressed with Bryce Mitchell after that performance, though?
Yes.
Yeah, you are good. All right. Yeah, explain.
Nobody does that to Danny Ige. You know, like, you know, you can go back and you can look and Danny Ige's got some, like, you know, ugly losses here and there, right? Like, he lost to Josh Emmett or Chan Sung Jung or whatever. But, like, nobody's ever, like, taken his back and put him in danger like that. Or, like, I mean, like, Bryce Mitchell got to his mount twice in two consecutive rounds. And Danny Ige needed the bell to get out of there. Like, he did everything right. Like, he was shrimping correctly. He was bucking correctly. He, like, was using his hips well. Like, and he just wasn't getting out of it. And that just shows that, like, Bryce Mitchell is still kind of that guy grappling. I think I maybe wrote him off after the Topuria fight. But, you know, like, this probably just shows how impressive Topuria is at the end of the day.
So there you go. And if you didn't see Bryce Mitchell being introduced at the starting of the fight, make sure you go back and watch that, because it had some
Diego Sanchez vibes.
Oh yes,
remember
it's true.
When Diego Sanchez came out with the crucifix? Like it?
Yes,
yeah,
I forgot. Yes, of course.
And he was yelling. Was that when he was yelling yes or no? Because I think we have one of each for Diego Sanchez. Oh, man.
So much fun. So much fun. Bryce Mitchell brought the fun back in MMA. So we whiffed on that underdog. Gumby went dog to end the night. Oh, one of them hit, which is nice. This one did not. But like I said, Ige fought for our money. So did Mahina Rodriguez, even though the referee, Carrie Hatley, did not want us to win this fight. She battered Michelle Watterson Gomez as expected. TKO punches 242 into the second round. This fight ended about 5 minutes in fight time too late. Watterson Gomez was getting destroyed in the first round, was not fighting back. She was doing all that she can to try to defend herself, not very well. Wasn't fighting back. The fight should have been stopped because, like I said, she wasn't fighting back. But instead, she got to get beat up some more. We eventually won. Rodriguez looked good, but it was against Watterson Gomez, so doesn't really mean much at this point.
Yeah, Carrie Hatley must have tailed our underdog fantasy picks for this week, because if you were on our Twitter X or whatever the hell it's called now, we said we had Michelle or Marina Rodriguez over 55.5 fantasy points, and she very easily handled that thanks to the fact that she landed like 200 straight punches in a row.
Yeah, it was wild. Michelle Watterson Gomez is tough though, Dan. She's tough.
Yeah. Is she even though? I mean, no. Like, she didn't go cold, but like, well, there's more than being tough than just like not being knocked out, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I guess she was swinging back. Maybe I should be giving her more credit. It was just like, she was never in this fight is my problem. And now she's lost 6 out of 7.
Yeah. And she didn't put her gloves down in the ring. I was hoping that she would put her gloves down, but no, she's going to make this difficult. Is she?
And there was also, I'm just going to throw this back here too, because I'm saying she's lost 6 out of 7. There's also an argument that she lost that one that she has a win for, right? That was a 5-round split decision over Angela Hill. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think I scored it for Watterson, but there were plenty of people who scored it for Angela Hill. So like, she could be on a 7-fight losing streak right now.
Well, you and I are firing her, but will the UFC release her?
No. She can leave whenever she wants.
All right. She's sticking around. Does this, and this doesn't mean anything for Mahina Rodriguez either, right? This should have been a meaningful fight for her, but after looking the way she's looked two fights before that, this is just her getting back on the winning track against a fighter who's shot.
Yeah, this was the perfect kind of matchmaking for her, having had like a rough go of it lately. Like, I like that move. Giving her Michelle Waterson was the perfect move for her, and I hope they don't give her who she asked for, because I know you don't listen to post-fight interviews. I know that's the thing. Did you happen to see who she asked for?
No.
Tatiana Suarez next.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea. Michelle Waterson took you down, girl. Like, you're not keeping your feet against Tati.
Nope.
So, yeah, like, that's a terrible call out. But I like that she's still pushing for the top of that division, because she's, I mean, let's face it, she's really good on the feet and really good in the clinch. So, book her with somebody who will throw with her.
Yep. Next, the only prop lock dog parlay that came through for either of us, Brian Battle, was my lock. He did come through a little tentative in the first round, but he was just being patient, and he took care of T-Rex Arms, AJ Fletcher. Submission, rear naked choke, 432 into the second round. These guys look like they were in different weight classes.
Yeah, I mean, well, Brian Battle used to be in a different weight class, and he was a tall middleweight, and now he's a very tall welterweight. And yeah, he's AJ so Fletcher
now.
Yeah, he looks great though. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like the shape that like elite MMA fighters are. You know what I mean? Like, before he was thick around the middle and like not even particularly strong, and now he's like strong and lean and got great reach, and his striking has really come around. And he reminded us yesterday that he is a grappler primarily. So all that fun stuff.
Yep. Thoughts on him going forward?
I mean, keep moving him up the ladder. I mean, he's now 3-1 at welterweight, with his only loss being what's his face? The guy who isn't Brave. Why am I blanking on his name right now? You know who I'm talking about. He lost to Renat Fakhretdinov.
Yes.
So he lost to Renat Fakhretdinov. He's beaten two legitimate dudes in Fletcher and Gabe Green. Takashi Sato, maybe not so legit anymore. But it's all three finishes, and he lasted with Renat Fakhretdinov. So, you know, maybe not a top 15 guy yet, but maybe who we're going to talk about in a second, maybe somebody like Tim Means.
Oh, okay. First of all, we're getting rid of AJ Fletcher, right? And his little tiny baby arms.
What's that make?
One and three in the UFC. He won his last two fights.
He beat Themba Garimbo, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the guy The Rock bought his house for him.
Yes.
Yeah, I think probably, sadly, that's it for AJ Fletcher.
You're out of here, AJ Fletcher. All right, yes. I was thinking we're moving to Tim Means, but no, we're moving to Canadian. That screwed me over. I shouldn't have faded the Canadian, but I did anyhow.
He didn't screw you over. Ricardo Ramos screwed you over.
Ricardo Ramos looked really horrible. This was the low fight IQ. One of the prime examples of it last night. Made sure he got himself guillotine choke. When the choke wasn't good enough, made sure he got himself in a better position to get choked even worse by Charles Jourdain, 3-12 into the first round. Jourdain came through. We had Ramos as a dog, and he did not fight for our money.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel satisfied about that pick after the fact, because Hamosh, I think, showed he had more talent in this fight, right? Like, he kept going to the ground with him. He could score the takedowns. Positionally, he was doing smart things. And if he had kept doing smart things, I have no doubt in my mind he would have won that by decision. He clearly has the talent to beat Charles Jourdain, but the brain thinking did not go so well for him.
Nope. No, it did not. The brain thinking did not go so well. And it didn't go so well for us picking him in that fight. We only hit two fighters on the main card. Lucky we hit some dogs coming up. So, all right. Prelims. Miles Johns. Here's one of my dogs. Adam at +154. He came through for me against Dan Argueta. Very good fight. Fight of the night, actually. No, actually, it could have been fight of the night, but it wasn't. Miles Johns defeated Dan Argueta. Correct decision. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28.
Yeah, I thought it was closer than that. I was watching it with rosy-colored glasses, but I really thought Argueta was stealing some of those rounds, but the power of Miles Johns, which the broadcast kept saying, I must have been underrating.
Yes. So Miles Johns, like I said, he's only lost two fights, like I said in the preview for this, which it seems like he's lost more, but he hasn't. So I don't know what that says about him, but he's on the right track, winning again. Then Gumby got a big knock.
Is it just because his losses are kind of shitty?
Maybe.
Like, no offense,
yeah,
but like he was choked out by John Castaneda. And remember, that was also the fight where he tested positive for Adderall. So like, and not that John Castaneda is not good, but like, you know, that being one of John Castaneda's three wins in the UFC, is maybe it doesn't bode too well for him. So like, maybe it's just that he doesn't have a signature win, and his two losses are kind of lackluster and like both put him out cold.
There you go. Gumby throwing shade. John Castaneda is the unsuspecting victim.
I love the sexy Mexican.
Of course you do. All right. This is Gumby's big hit. This is what I wanted to get to for him. He had Tim Means at +160, took care of Andre Fiallo, who's a frustrating fighter. I'm cutting him now, Dan, because I think that's four straight losses for him. So he's getting cut. You got TKO punches, 115 into the third round by an old man, Tim Means.
So I will say there's one thing that could possibly save him. So first of all, that's four straight knockout losses for him too.
Yes.
Not just four straight losses. However, the crew of guys he's lost to are pretty good kickboxers and pretty good at knocking people out. Like Jake Matthews, Muslim Salikov, Tim Means, Joaquin Buckley. Like the worst fighter in there might be, what is it? Maybe Means, maybe Buckley. So, like, you know, six on one hand, half dozen on the other. I think either of them is the worst. But like, so he's lost to good people, and also none of those fights are boring. So like, he's got
fight of the night last night.
Yeah, he's got that going for him. So like, that's totally the type of person the UFC will just like wheel out to fight. You know, if Brian Battle had lost last night, that's the person they'd roll out to let Brian Battle get back in it. You know, like, so, you know, he's a get back in it guy. So like, they might have one more fight for him somewhere in there. But hey, no, Tim Means, I know, like, I'm ready to cut him too, but Tim Means looked good in there, right? Tim Means was sharp.
Yep. He did. He was, not handling the power too well. Like, Fiallo had him anytime he was landing, it was problems, but luckily Fiallo decided he was going to grapple after that at one point. He had good fight IQ last night as well. So
I think that's just his gas tank. I think he's just got I said it in the Discord, like, and I said it on Wednesday. I said, he's got 6 seconds of gas, and if he knocks you out in that 6 seconds, well, that sucks. But if you survive that 6 seconds of power he's going to throw, there's nothing left.
Very, very true. Gumby nailed it again. He nailed that underdog, and underdog fantasy is where I'm transitioning to now, just because the word's underdog. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single game by going 5-4-5. Plus, from now until October 4th, Underdog is matching 100% of first deposits up to $500. Plus, listen to all this stuff. $100,000 Sundays continues on Underdog Fantasy. A total of $2 million in prizes all season long. $100,000 in prizes this week. $10,000 to 10 people this week. New sweepstakes every week of the NFL season. This week, if you get it in time, if you get this in years in time, you probably will. This week's higher or lower is Tyreek Hill. Receiving yards, 91.5. Higher or lower, Gumby says higher. And even if you're wrong and Gumby's wrong, you still have a chance to win $10,000. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $500. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. And Hall of Fame Bets is on board with us. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Tim Means, we talked about how good he was. Cody Brundage got himself hit in the back of the head while he was getting ground and pounded to oblivion, and he won via disqualification, illegal elbow. Jacob Malkoon was the perpetrator here, 4:15 into the first round. This was the bad beat of the night. We had Malkoon at minus 485, and he was dominating this fight. Brundage had nothing for him until his back of his head got in the way.
Yeah, I think I said on the show, I'm not betting him at negative 485. That was our official pick. We thought he would win. But if you were chilling in the Discord, there were a whole bunch of people holding Cody Brundage by KO or DQ tickets at like,
yep.
at like 10 to 1. So they were all pleading for him to take the easy way out. And like, I'm always hesitant to say easy way out here, too, because everybody's like, oh, he's acting and it doesn't look real. And like, I get it. I get that, like, sometimes it looks like they're maybe milking it or wincing their eyes more. But, like, also, like, hey, let me come elbow you in the back of the head and see if you want to keep fighting. I don't want to fight in the first place. Never mind after I've been elbowed in the back of the head.
And he was already beat up by that point, too. So who's to say? Was it the
Yeah, I mean, he could be dizzy from the shots. Yeah, 100%.
Yes, exactly. He's getting destroyed. So that was unfortunate, to say the least.
What do you think they do with Cody Brundage? Because I'm not looking for this guy's job, right? Because I actually like Cody Brundage quite a bit. He's pretty fun when he's in there and when he's not, you know, like silly jumping guillotine like he did against Cedricus Dumas or Rodolfo Vieira. But like, he knocked out Trayshawn Gore. He did hit that guillotine on Dulce Loguiambula, but he was probably 10 minutes away here or less from being 0-4 in his last four. Like,
yeah,
Dana, I mean, if he treats Cody Brundage the same way he treats Aljamain Sterling following taking a DQ loss like that, or a DQ win rather like that, I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he did cut him, right? Like, Dana hates that shit.
Yeah, he's what could save him is he's takes last minute fights constantly. This was a last minute fight. The one before was a last minute fight too.
That's
I think,
true.
Right?
That's true. Company man.
So, yeah. That may save him. Maybe
I hope so.
I'd
like
too.
To see him get a fun win in there, or a fun fight in there.
We shall see. That wasn't a fun one for us. This fight was not a fun one, but at least we had the winner. Muhammad Usman, I had him to knock out Jake Collier. It didn't happen. He did throw more than he usually does. So I'll give Usman that. But he defeated Jake Collier 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. 30-27 is a bad scorecard, but the right guy won at least.
Yeah, the right guy definitely won, but Jake Collier won the first round so obviously. And yeah, I just don't think there's any world where you give Collier two or three. So I think the right scorecard came out, with the exception of that one really bad one from Jacob Montalvo. And yeah, I'll take the win. These first three fights were not a ton of fun.
No, they were not. And then first four, and then we had a DQ. That fight was a bit better.
Yeah.
The Malkoon fight was a DQ, so that wasn't good either. We had Usman minus 142. Collier, goodbye. See you later, alligator. Women's strawweights, Mizuki. She was going by. You may know her as Mizuki Inoue. Took care of super strong Hannah Goldie, 29-28 across the board. This was a yuck fight. We had Inoue at minus 298. It was a bit better than the opener, but it still wasn't that great of a fight.
You ready to hear my favorite part of these scorecards? So first of all, I after the fight, I was like, well, that's weird. I thought this was going to be 30-27 for real, because I was trying to figure out what round you give Hannah Goldie. I was like, maybe round three was the most likely to be hers. Have you seen the scorecards?
No, please tell.
No two judges gave her the same round. David Leatherby gave her the first, which is, by the way, maybe the most egregious. Junito Camijo gave her the second, and our girl Adelaide Bird gave her the third. So two out of three judges gave every single round to Mizuki Inoue. And for some reason, one of them gave each round to Hannah Goldie.
fantastic. And then the opener, we got wrong. We didn't get it wrong. That was a bad fight, but we got the winner wrong. Montserrat Rendon, slow motion punch, quicksand puncher, took care of Tamir Vidal, 29-28 across the board. Ouch.
Yeah, Vidal looked, first of all, she didn't look great in her first couple of fights, but like she looked extra bad in this one. The thing that I just don't get is like when she got taken down, you know, like there are some people who like don't have an idea how to get up or don't have the energy to get up or whatever. And then they just like hold their opponent's head and keep their posture down. She literally just kept making Montserrat Rendon posture up. Like she was just like pushing her shoulders until she was in a good position to punch her in the head. It was one of the wildest things I've ever seen and so confusing. Also, this was a split decision. I think it was pretty close to going to Vidal.
It was a split decision. Sorry. I didn't mention that. Split decision, 29-28. The only judge who had it our side, Vidal's side, was the one of Gumby's heroes, Chris Lieben, who was making his debut as a judge. So it was good to see he was on our side.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad scorecard. Like, I probably score this for Rendon anyway. That second round is really close. Obviously, the first to Vidal. Obviously, the third to Rendon. And depending on how you sort of scored some of that grappling towards that in that round for Rendon, you might give her that one. But I could see it going for Vidal, too. So not a terrible scorecard. But, man, I was wrong to have so much faith in Vidal. Vidal was not good. And they're both giant fades moving forward, even in a division filled with fades.
Women's bantamweight, not good. Get rid of it. Start up women's atomweight, right?
I'm not going to say get rid of it, but I like their approach right now of like, okay, well, we're just going to keep hiring people. Right. Somebody's got to work out.
Somebody has to win every fight, right? Eventually. Somebody's got to win.
I mean, sometimes. Sometimes it's a very obvious draw.
It's true. Yep. It's true. Sometimes there is a draw. Wacky night in MMA. Not that fun of a night for our picks, at least. I went 5-6. Gumby went 6-5. You almost broke even. You only lost $11. I lost $251. So wasn't too much fun. We were both at the same hit rate as we were going in. I'm at 60% on the year. Gumby's at 56%. I hit my lock, Brian Battle. I missed on Dan Ige. I missed on Usman via knockout. Gumby missed on Vidal as a lock. Ramos as a underdog and Battle via knockout. He did finish the fight, but not via knockout. And then our Superfan parlay, Usman via knockout, Vidal inside the distance, did not hit. So boo. A boo night. Lucky we get to forget about it and get some more UFC in our veins this week. No, we don't. No UFC this week, sadly. The bonus winners, Means Fiallo won the performance of the night. Rodriguez Jourdain were performance of the night. Means Fiallo were fight of the night. And no, there is no UFC this coming week. Next UFC is October the 7th, my father's birthday in the UFC Apex. It is Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green at the top of the card. Let me run through the card quickly for you. We got Bijo Pfeiffer in the co-main event against Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, Alex Morano, Joaquin Buckley. That should be a fun one. Drew Dober, Ricky Glenn. Another fun one, actually. Felipe Lins, Jan Kudalaba, Alexander Hernandez, Bill Augio. That is the main card. Prelims, or as of now, that's the main card. Prelims, Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Diana Balbicha, Chris Gutierrez, Montel Jackson, Iori Kilang, Johnny Munoz Jr., Nate Manis, Matias Mendoza, Kanako Murado, Vanessa Demopoulos, and just announced Montana De La Rosa, JJ Aldrich. Thoughts, Gumby?
It's a pretty good fight. Card in terms of, I don't know, people who I enjoy watching fight, right? Like, I don't know that we're like, I don't know, we're learning a lot here other than like this will be a good boost for Grant Dawson and Joe Pfeiffer if they make steps forward. But you know, I love watching Murano and Buckley fight. Drew Dober is always fun to watch fight, and Ricky Glenn's not in boring fights. Bill Algio and Alexander Hernandez, ditto there, they're like fun as hell to watch. Same with Gutierrez and Montel Jackson. Are they all like unstoppable and unbeatable? Nah, but they're fun as hell. And we get probably a really fun grappling match between Kanako Murata and Vanessa Demopoulos. Like that should be fun.
Yep. Yeah. There's lots of interesting fun fighters here. So we will be covering that. Not this week though. Next week. What are we going to do this week, Gumby? Do you have ideas? Wednesday, Thursday episode.
I've been trying to put together ideas for the Wednesday, Thursday episode. There's like not a lot going on this weekend. So the best I have for you guys right now, and feel free to throw out suggestions in the Discord should you happen to have them. But currently my thought process is we're definitely going to do Cage Warriors for one of them. There's a Cage Warriors card happening in Manchester, I believe. And it's got some guys. It's got some guys on it that you've heard of. One of the Shelley brothers is on there. Thomas Harila is on there. You know, so there's like some decent talent on there. So we'll at least get one show out of that. In addition to that, we will either take a look at PFL Europe, which is in their playoff stage, which should be, I don't know, kind of interesting. There's some fun guys on there, but like, I don't know how interesting it is or whether or not they'll have lines or whether or not you can even watch it. So like that's a possibility. And then I've also thrown around the possibility of doing Ryzen Landmark 6 is on Sunday. Week from today is on Sunday. And guess who's in the co-main event?
Who, Gumby?
Top Noi.
The Sig Smoker. Nice.
So well, that we'll, might be. Maybe we'll mix and match some PFL Europe and Ryzen for the second episode.
Yep. Bad week for the UFC to be off. This is everyone's. All these other promotions have to plan their calendars better and see when the UFC is off and then take advantage of it, at least for our behalf here. If you have a good idea, like Gumby said, hit us up in the Discord. Or if you would like us just to have an episode where we cover a topic and not give picks or something like that. We haven't done that for a while. Like we usually do end of the year type of thing, State of the Union or anything like that. Hit us up in the Discord. Let us know your thoughts. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord or hit us up on Twitter X, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer on there and on Instagram. So you can hit us up at any of those spots for anything. Just don't hit us up complaining about stuff. What else? I got a Substack. You can subscribe, get more of my content in your inbox every day, and enter my weekly pick'em contest as moneymma.substack.com. Gumby has another podcast minus my voice, which is a good thing, and it's Top Turtle MMA. He does good interviews every week. A lot of contender series people this time of year, which is nice. Do you know who's on it this week or not yet?
So I have two interviews for UFC Vegas 80, which is that Dawson card you mentioned. They'll be coming out over the next 2 weeks. I don't know if I'll drop them both this week because I have Vanessa Demopoulos join me. She's a who. And then I talked to Johnny Munoz Jr. too. And there's a good chance I'm going to be talking to somebody, possibly two people on the Contender Series over the coming weeks. So if that happens to be the case, you'll probably get one of the UFC guys and one of the Contender Series guys each of the next 2 weeks.
Luckily, there's no language restrictions on Gumby's podcast if he has Vanessa Demopoulos on it. Or is she behaved now?
She was actually, I don't know that she cussed at all, but she was her usual enthusiastic self. It's never dull when she's on.
Nope. So make sure you subscribe and get in on that Top Turtle MMA podcast. And of course, for all things sports gambling, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and our Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Check your feed. We're there again. We got some Dana White Contender Series picks for you. Some winning picks for week. What week are we up to? Eight, right?
Week eight.
Usually we don't want it to end, but this year, not so much. Hasn't been the greatest season. Maybe it'll pick up this week. We'll see. Regardless of how it goes, we will give you picks. It'll be myself, the prototype Jeff Fox. And of course, I got to bring along my sidekick Pooh Bear, Gumby Vreeland. And we will get all that in your ear holes right now. Check your feed. Bye.